So first of all, appreciate all of our supporters, both those who just listen, those who listen and share the show, and of course, those who financially support us. You are not going to get an early show financial supporters today. I mean, you might by like 2 or 3 hours if I even get it edited tonight, because we'll see how I'm feeling afterwards, because I've got to brown up some sausage so it doesn't go bad. But aside from that, we're here. How's it going?
We're here. Aussie? We'll still have a show out on Monday.
Yes.
It's going, man. It's going. So I want to start with a little bit of follow-up that we got. Let me go back to this email. If I was more professional about this, I would have connected a Braille display or something, or made some notes.
Yeah, but...
But here we are. So we got this email from Scout, which I have not replied to, but we're going to respond to it on air. It would have been nice if I had let Mike know it was there before now, so he could have read it, because I'm going to ask questions. So first, thanks to Scout for reaching out to us via email using feedback at technicallyworking.show. The first question, he says, great show. I'm not really sure which episode he's referring to.
Right.
Because I don't see the date at the moment. Mike, so I'm guessing it was like 2 weeks ago, because you were feeling reasonably okay last week, right? I think it was the week before, so 55, but you were kind of under the weather a bit.
Yep.
Okay. So this is the episode he's referring to. So it's a great episode. I think all of them are great episodes. So, but he wants to, he says, he's glad you're feeling better. But also he wants to know, where would he look if he were interested in your glass?
For Reaper, if you are currently a Club Unmute member, then you can log into your Club Unmute membership at unmute.show. There's a login link that you click on. Once you're logged in, choose the podcast link. And then once you choose that, there's a Club Unmute podcast link that you can choose. And then it'll give you the opportunity to add it to most of the popular podcast apps, or there's an RSS feed at the bottom of the page you can copy to your RSS or your podcast app of choice.
There you go. So you got to be a Club Unmute member at the moment. I think the plan is to also release this as a standalone product at some point in the future.
Possibly. We'll see.
Okay. So we'll update you on that as we know. So some more of what Scout says in this email is kind of just a, I'm going to say a pat on the back, and I don't mean it to kind of belittle what he's saying, but it's a lot the way he wrote it. But apparently also in this episode, I had a pretty transparent conversation about how I was feeling and leaving and walking out and giving Tia a call and having a conversation, right? So, you know, he kind of applauds me for being able to do that, like recognizing that and being able to walk away, which I applaud myself for that, because not too long ago, me would have been me and not a more grown up version of me. So, thanks for that. He did ask if he said that's also a, you know, good example for mentally is a good example for the rest of those of us as husbands, not just blind, but anybody, which does make sense. Like, you should have somebody you can talk to. That should be your partner. Next, me how to consider getting a travel router. I have considered that and even priced a couple of things. And I honestly probably would have bought one if they weren't sold out, because I was going to buy the Ubiquiti travel router. But other travel routers are either, the Ubiquiti one wasn't super cheap either, but I just was like, well, you know, I'm used to their stuff being expensive. At least I know what I'm getting. The thing is, I really didn't want to invest the money into it. And looking at the available plans for me to use, like, I would burn through 5 gigs of data so fast. And I know that because I had a 5 gig data package from the eSIM company that me and Michael have talked about before. It's KEEPGO. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce
that. Keepgo? Something like that.
I don't know. Keepgo. Jeez, I didn't even look at it like that. So I set up a phone, actually a Android phone. It was a Samsung that I got when I first got it. I set it up with a hotspot, or set it up with one of those eSIM data cards. And with this company, you pay for a pack of data, and it's good for a whole year. If you add at least, I think, 100 megabytes or something, which is fairly inexpensive, to your plan before that year is up, it extends you another year. So you don't actually lose your data if you don't use it, if you manage that correctly. But at any rate, I put this on the Samsung phone and I set up the hotspot and I made it a Wi-Fi network that my Mac was familiar with and automatically connect to it. And yeah, probably in a matter of a night, at least two nights for sure, I was out of data. Like, and I was just 5 gigs. Looking at the available plan for companies that actually sell. Now, some of that a little bit, just to, before I get to the plans, let me manage this a little bit better. So I did not do all of the things that I would normally do because I wasn't thinking about it, which is like turn off background syncing for a bunch of stuff. Turn off Backblaze backups, for example, like things like that, that I should have curbed. And I spoke before on a show about using an app called Trip Mode, I think, to eliminate some of that. There is a feature in macOS that says low data usage for this network. I'm not really sure what Apple turns off if you do that and if it affects third party apps or not. But Trip Mode is an app that I believe is still available in set app, but it is fairly expensive. Inexpensive as a solution for this as well, which is you can go in and set profiles for different networks. So for that network, what I actually should have done was disable syncing in the background, for example, because I don't know, somebody dumped a whole bunch of stuff in the sync folder one day. I have no idea what was going on. There was a lot of stuff there. Turned off, you know, like iCloud syncing, turned off Backblaze backups and whatnot. Because the computer would be fine to sit there overnight if I connected to the Wi-Fi there and deal with its, you know, transient issues to do its backups that way. So I didn't dial all of that stuff in the way that I really should have. But I was also legitimately trying to download stuff that I needed as well that I couldn't get to on the Wi-Fi at Gentry. But suffice to say, regardless of all of that, in order for me to get a reasonable data plan with a mobile router, like first I got to go buy the mobile router, and then the plans are really kind of outrageous from my perspective. So that, while that option has crossed my mind, it's just not feasible financially for me to make that move.
Yeah, and Ubiquiti stuff is not cheap. Nope. But once you're in Ubiquiti, you got to go all Ubiquiti, I feel. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
That was kind of a thought process.
Someone, it was Ken. Ken was on a Discord chat once, and it was Doug and Jeff and me and Ken and Michael and some other people. And Ken's like, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make you buy this. And Doug's like, no, that's my job. Oh, it was funny. It was funny. Well, first of all, Scout, if you sent this email a long time ago, we are both sorry that neither of us acknowledged it. A, because full transparency, I do not have the TW email inbox set up on my computer, on any of the three computers that are on my desk right now. I should go through and set it up. I just haven't yet. So that could be why we didn't reply. Or maybe you're just behind, which is fine too, because most of our stuff is evergreen. It can be listened to all the time.
Anytime. So tell your friends. Go back and listen. Start at episode one. This is a good journey we've been on here, I think.
Start at episode one of the DM series and then come over here. Listen to all of them.
I'm not going to even endorse that recommendation. Maybe start around episode 24, 25.
There you go. Our audio got better on 10. So 10 forward, our audio is better. Our content wasn't as good on like 12 through 20. So yeah, maybe start on 24.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, we do apologize if this email, let me actually see when you sent this email. And for me, it just got buried because I kind of...
December 5th. You know, the quickest way to find the data is to forward the email to someone else and then look at the email. You're not using Mac Mail for that email account, are you? Or are you?
Yes, I am. Huh. How do you forward a... Okay, there we go. Oh, Scout's using Proton Mail.
Ooh.
Right in, Scout. Let us know how you're liking that service. I've been vaguely interested in trying it out, and just haven't.
Yeah, every time I see someone using it, I say, huh, I wonder how that
episode 49, actually. So if I'd have read the subject, I'd have knew which episode he was talking about. So, you know, that's...
Appreciate your email, Scout, for sure, even though it may have taken us 9 weeks to get back to you.
So, no, it actually came in on April the 14th.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
So, not terrible. I think I actually may have caught it roughly around the time that it came in, maybe a few days later.
Okay.
We are a little delayed. We probably could actually have gotten to this last week had I been looking at the email. I think we had a conversation about that last week, which is what prompted me, like, oh, yeah, I do have that set up on my account. I need to just go to that specific inbox and look. Otherwise,
the 14th was Sunday, and we recorded on Saturday. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
Appreciate the feedback. Definitely well deserved. I did a leadership conference this weekend, and I did the audio for it. And the audio was, compared to convention in October, 1,000 times better. Maybe not quite that much, but I'll tell you what, we actually had low ends on the audio, and I'm selling this Gemini UHF microphone system. So if anyone wants a Gemini UHF 600, I think it is, reach out to us, feedback@technicallyworking.show, and Demasio, let me know that you reached out, because I probably won't set up the email. The reason I'm selling it is, man, I don't know if something's going to be better for this. I have some solutions for what I want to do that's going to cost me a lot more money and a lot more of an investment, but I want to kind of do it the right way, and I'll run through that with you in a moment. But we got a lot of interference, and it wasn't interference from other wireless devices. It was freaking electricity noise. And I heard this when I was growing up with electronics, and a lot of your nerds saying electricity is loud when it comes to audio. Electricity is annoying when it comes to audio. I didn't put two and two together until I really actually had to listen to the static electricity noise, because cables got crossed, and it wasn't like bare cables, just cables, even protected cables got crossed, and then they were giving me a lot of noise. And what I ultimately want to do is, we have currently 10 board members with the state of Oregon's ACB. I want each of those board members, even if I have to group them like three together or something, I want each of those board members to have a lapel microphone. Because this passing this microphone thing around is kind of a little inconvenient. It's convenient in the fact that each board member, you know, if you have a comment to make, you need to wait until you get the microphone. So you can't heatedly go off and speak your opinions and stuff, because not everyone can hear you. But if everyone had a lapel microphone, then you could just speak up and you would be heard on Zoom. I was going to use the Tribbett Stormbox Blast as our internal speaker, like in-house speaker. We got all the way to town, and then I realized I knew I forgot something. I hate that feeling. I really hate that feeling. Like, you test everything out, it's all working. I grabbed all my cables. I grabbed extra cables. I don't even know what that cable goes to, you know? Like, I grabbed all those cables. I had some other stuff that I'm sure we'll talk about shortly. And then I had microphones and stuff. And we end up going to Walmart and picking up. I did return this, so full transparency, I did return it. But we paid $120 for I want to say it was probably a 90-watt speaker. It might have been a little bit less. And it had wheels with a handle. So it was like a little suitcase that you could just pull it along with you. Had a 1/8-inch aux in, and it had dual 1/4-inch microphones in. If it was just being used as a PA system, it would have worked beautifully. It worked great for bringing Zoom in. The problem we ran into, and I actually don't know if I have a solution for this problem. Feedback. I need to play with it, but not so much feedback, but the delay from when the person in person speaks on the microphone, it goes through the audio equipment out to Zoom and out to the speaker. So I got to play with that a little bit, because what we ended up doing is turning down the speaker and only turning, and I had headphones on, and only turning it up when Zoom had something to say. So we got to play with that, get that down, but the actual sound quality was a lot better for the experiment.
So what did you use for audio gear here?
I used the UHF microphones. I did bring my lapel mic, and in retrospect, I should have clipped that on and just plugged that in and talked to the Zoom people, because there was a couple times where I'm like, I need a microphone so I can talk to the Zoom people. You know, it's hindsight's 2020. And then I used the Audient Evo 8 to run the audio both in person and over Zoom. And I used the X1 Carbon laptop that Lenovo sent me.
Ah, so Mike got a new thing and didn't even tell me he got a new thing.
It was really hard not to tell you to, just so you know. That I don't know if you realize, like Tuesday when we were talking, like, hey, I'll talk to you later or something like that about it, because I almost told you. I'm like, well, let's save it for the show. So I got the Audient Evo 8. I'm probably going to return it, probably. That's actually what I'm talking to you on right now, into the X1 Carbon, and that's on CleanFeed, and then I'm recording CleanFeed on the Mac, and so the Mac is separate. I have the, what is this other Lenovo? Legend 504 laptop plugged into the Audient Evo with an 1/8 inch to dual XLR cables. So it's kind of nice because I can just reach over and press and hold a button, and then that audio is unmuted in my headphones, or press and hold it again and it's muted. The reason I might return this is, well, I'll determine if I'm going to return it in the very near future. The reason I'm going to possibly return it is, and I hope Z-Zounds isn't listening. If you are, you didn't hear this from me. I may have knocked the Evo off of the desk, like the third day that I had it, and the big knob right here just popped right off. And I'm like, well, and it feels very cheap. And I read that on some YouTube videos too, that the Evo just feels kind of cheap on the 8 compared to the 16. 'Cause I did have the 16 for a brief period of time. But I might return this and go back to the 16. I'm not certain if I'm going to do that. I did get it up and running with Windows and everything working. I can route audio to one of the three out three out destinations. There's the main left and right on the back, and then there's outs 3 and 4 on the back, and then there's a second headphone jack that you can send a separate mix to. There's some audio routing capabilities. I don't know, man. A mixer, I think, might be what I need, and just go with the Vocaster. Or
here's the hard part for me. I would not go with the Vocaster. You need to replace that.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Seriously. I do. So you have answered one question that I have had for the longest time since hearing Jonathan Mosen's demonstration of the Evo 16, which is, does the 8 have all of that routing capability on Windows? Going back to the 16 might be a reasonable thing. It sounds like the build quality there. I know Jonathan seemed very pleased with the build quality. Actually, I think he's still using it, which is a little surprising. Usually when he demonstrates audio equipment like that, like interfaces, he goes back to his normal setup. And from my impressions, at least from his Zoom content on the H Essential series, he's still using the Evo.
Yeah.
Which is interesting and fascinating, because usually he goes back to his defaults, and I guess he's still using the mixer for the radio show or whatever, but he usually goes back to his original setup once he's done a demo. This is, to my knowledge, not granted having listened to every single thing that he's created around this, but I recall the Vocaster review. He went back to his normal setup. There's some other interface he did a review of too. At some point he went back, the next time you would hear him do a show, he would, kind of mention his, audio setup that he normally used while he was, demoing the interface that he was actually demonstrating. Even with the Evo, like, he kind of briefly touched on what he had and what he used, but here's also why the Evo may be enough for you if you don't need the sliders and all of that stuff right there in front of you, like he does for his radio show. Mm-hmm. So I did find it interesting that he kept it. That is a option to go back to, for sure. It seems like the routing there, it kind of hurts to say this, but it's the truth. So I have to say it, like, it having a Windows computer for the type of audio interfaces, at least, that are being created nowadays, seems to be the way to go. because you don't get any of that routing, to my understanding, on the Mac, unless you pull in something like loopback. And basically, at least from everything I know, I haven't tried the Evo yet. I've managed to resist buying one and, you know, even looking at one, mostly because I kind of know what I at least have a expectation of what I will be getting into, which is, oh, I'm going to have to go into loopback and build a virtual mixer to map each channel I need for the Evo to this system in order for me to make this work. And I've done that before. I did that with the
SoundCraft Signature 12 MTK.
Yeah. I was looking over in the corner where it is in this box, trying to remember the name of this thing. Yeah. That thing. I did it with that thing and I didn't like it. Like it, it worked, but it wasn't the best setup. And I had to do a lot of weird stuff to be able to route audio the way I wanted to. And I don't like that. And it makes me very unhappy that Apple has reduced me to that sort of functionality in the creator space.
Something I want to mention to listeners, because full transparency, we're getting ready to move in the not too distant future. I'll leave it at that and maybe give more details. We're downsizing as well, substantially, like hugely downsizing. And you might say, Michael, what's the point of buying new equipment if you're downsizing and if you're moving and you need all that money to move? Because moving is not cheap at all. As I demonstrated earlier, and I think this is important for a lot of people to listen to, in this day and age, with tools like, I call them tools, but with merchants like Sweetwater or merchants like Zzound, Z-Z-O-U-N-D-S, you can do 12-month financing, for example, or 8-month financing, which means you might be only out $40 or something like that to be able to get a piece of equipment to your house. And Zzound's specifically, I don't know Sweetwater's, but Zzound's has a 60-day return window. So that gives you a month and a half. I mean, ultimately, it gives you 2 months, but I'm going to say a month and a half because I encourage people, if you have that type of return window and you don't know for sure, get your stuff returned earlier rather than later because you want to get your money back. But you have time to try things out to say, hey, is this going to work in my setup? And if not, then send it back. If so, then, you know, you can pay that off often with low or no financing fees associated with it as well. So just want to throw that out at some people.
That is a good thing to bring up. We hadn't mentioned that in a while. Yeah. So for Sweetwater, the max you can get, I think, is 6 months unless you have a Sweetwater credit card and your financing is completely different. but without a credit card, without a Sweetwater card, you have a max of 6 months, but that's also dependent upon price. Zzounds is a little similar as well. Like, you know, you're not going to get 8 months to pay off $100 thing.
Right.
I do believe that Sweetwater's 6 month price cap starts right around $400. I think Zzounds is a little bit lower than that, but Zzounds typically will give you options based off the price of what you're buying. And they are fairly reasonable. And it is how I've purchased some equipment in the past, including the MTK, I think, is how I purchased that through Sweetwater.
And Zzounds is fast. Like, I had never heard of Zzounds until right before the pandemic. And I thought, oh, this is a cheap, you know, fly-by-night audio company. Apparently, they've been around for a while, and I love their shipping. Like, their shipping is fast.
I can't remember what it was that you first bought from them. It might have been the
SoundCraft. It was the SoundCraft.
And yep. You're like, man, I can't believe these people just gave me like 6 months to pay this thing off or something like that, or 8 months or something like that. It's like, it was whatever it was crazy. Like, I applied for it. I didn't think I was going to get it. It's like, it was easy. And it came and it was here in 2 days.
And it's here.
But yeah, Zzounds is a good place to go to. And like you, I have made use of both of their payment plans. Even at times where maybe I didn't necessarily need to, just because, you know, hey, Keep some money free when you can, like, because it's not costing me any financing charges.
I think both of them have like a $10 or $12
fee. There's like a fee that you pay for, but then that's it, which is, you know,
And for me, $10. Convenience of keeping that cash free so I can pay other bills or do other things with it is worth the fee that I have to pay to try something out or to get something new.
Yeah. And the return window on both, I forget, but I think Sweetwater is either 30 or 45 days. But yeah, having that flip. And here's the thing, like, we both have done this, and it's not with the intent of doing it. We buy stuff with the honest, you know, intent on keeping it if it works for what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Like, neither mm-hmm. one of us has done the Apple Vision Pro reviewer YouTuber thing where we're like, oh, I'm going to go buy this thing with knowing when I buy it that I'm going to send it back. Just want to be there to get the YouTube review.
Full transparency, I have remember my microphone adventure when I had like almost $1,000 in microphones? I'm like, I'm only keeping one of these, but I am going to try some of these.
So that's sort of kind of different though, because you were trying out different microphones to see which one was going to work.
True. Yeah.
And you started with one and you're like, I don't like that one. Let me try this one. And you just happen to have them. You're like, well, since I already got this one here and I'm getting another one, I may as well just hold on to them and see which one I'm going to send back.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a, you know, I'm going to
buy it wasn't just to return it.
I'm going to buy this to use it for this weekend project I need to do, and then I'm going to take it back. Like, it wasn't really that intent. It was like, I'm trying out. And I've done that. Like, I did that. I did a whole microphone shootout thing too. Turns out I didn't like
one of those things you do.
Didn't like any of them, and legitimately, like, there was only one microphone I looked at. I was like, I really hope I don't end up liking you because I don't like you. But
this one's too damn expensive.
No, so that wasn't even the case. I just didn't work like the way it looked. It was that Rode something or another. Like, it was an interesting mic, but I didn't like the way it swiveled or something. There was something about it I didn't like. The build quality was great. I just didn't like the way the microphone looked. But also turned out I didn't like the way it sounded all that well either. You know, ended up going back to the same microphone, which was the beta. When I bought the second Beta 87A that I own, it was because of it. Like, but I was doing a honest test, and you know, in a world, there's a world where I could have liked this Beta 87A that was still good, but I also kind of like this USB XLR microphone I tried out too. So, you know what? I'll just keep both of them. And I think for you, there was a possibility of that too. So again, I feel like it was more of a honest, I'm trying out something, and it didn't work. So you sent it back. Like, you didn't buy them to do a YouTube review and then send it back. Like, oh yeah,
nope.
I'm gonna buy this $3,500 thing, do my YouTube review unboxing, and then immediately file for a return. But yeah, and there are, and listen, Amazon is a similar place. And this is why I tell people a lot of times, like, I get annoyed at Amazon. I'm typically in a state of annoyance with Amazon for something or another. Their business practices mostly. Man, I wonder if you heard that. You hear that car?
No.
Ah, okay. Super loud. But Amazon is, now I'm starting to get annoyed with Amazon now when I do have to return stuff, which usually is because I bought something and it wasn't what I thought it was. Like, I get it, and it's like there was something in the description that did not indicate this was going to look this way or it was going to work that way. Or in the case of a backpack I returned, it's like, you know, I really just didn't like the way the leather felt and it wasn't spacious enough. Still kind of on a hunt for a backpack, by the way, just on a side note. But anyway, Amazon's gotten to a point now where they don't want you to ship anything back to them personally. They want you to take it to UPS and drop it off, which is kind of irritating sometimes. But make use of return policies. Like I always tell people, and yes, it can be annoying to return stuff, but if you buy something with a honest, legitimate point of like, I'm trying this out to see if it works, and if it just doesn't work in your favor, like, send it back. There's no reason to keep something just because you don't want to go through the hassle. And I know people that do that, and you really shouldn't. You know, unless you got that kind of money that you want to burn it up. But I can guarantee you ain't going to have that kind of money too long if you keep doing that. As a matter of fact, I'm paying for this microphone I'm talking to you on right now on a payment plan. I don't even actually, I mean, I guess I own it because I ain't finna come get it, but I'm still paying for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the Earthworks, something or another. I don't remember what it was. So cool. I'm curious where you're going to end up at. I kind of wonder with the interface, if you seem just based off what you said, and you tell me if you feel differently, but you kind of seem okay with the button pressing going on with the Evo itself. So maybe going to the 16 gives you enough routing capability and inputs and outputs, as well as the audio interface all in one device, so that you don't have to go buy a mixer, which could reduce the amount of space you need for audio gear. I have been hesitant for a while, even though very interested in the Evo 8 or the 16, partially because of the Mac thing, but also partially because I'm not sure how I'm going to like I got to press this button and then press that button and then turn a knob. Like I'm not sure if I want to keep doing all of that because I'm old and I just like my sliders, man. Just give me a freaking slider.
Yeah. That can throw me off. And the other thing that really throws me off, and, I'm not sure if Tia's listening live, but, we're not going to be able to live stream because something in my audio setup is not working properly. And Michael let me know, and I'm not going to try to troubleshoot it. So, what I will say is, one other thing about when you have this Evo connected to Windows is I need to remember to close the Evo mixer, because if I don't, then I have a default TTS shouting in my ears every time I make an adjustment to the Evo. And that does kind of, it's like, I don't need to know the level of, output 1 and 2. Like if I hit the button right now and I turn the knob, it says output 1 and 2 volume -12.5 dB or -12.5. I'm like, okay, thanks. Appreciate that. Don't need that information though right now. but you know, it's a growing experience.
Yeah. But it does sound like it could work as a solution. And again, I think also just, you know, playing devil's advocate to what I just said about not necessarily probably wanting to deal with all the button press, remember to press and hold that or press and hold these two together to do this thing, is on the other side of it though, the software did seem to be fairly accessible in Windows and the matcher for most cases, you would be able to set up your, especially with the 16, because I think you actually have, is it a total of 5 output mixes you could set up?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, something like that. 5 or 6, because you also have the talkback output mix on that one, on the 16, that you do not have on the other two.
So I could see a situation where you build a mix for output and you just switch to that or turn that mix on when you're needing it, and not having to always be fiddling with it either. So that's an ideal. I mean, that could be a thing, and you're also, you know, carrying a Windows laptop, which is some also don't have. So
yeah. And the other thing that I want to do. So right here to my left is the Lenovo Legion. That's to the left of the MX keys. It's assigned to number 2 on the MX keys connections. The Lenovo X1 Carbon is the one that I took with me this weekend because it just slid right behind the MacBook Air. Cause I did bring the MacBook Air because I knew that. Like I took the Evo, I took the Vocaster, I took the MacBook, and I took the X1 Carbon because I knew how to do what I wanted to do with the Vocaster if I needed to. I didn't want to go through that, but I had that, like, that reassurance that I had that equipment with me. But I have the X1 Carbon associated with number 3 on this keyboard. And then number 1 is the MacBook Air. And that's sitting directly in front of me. The MacBook Air is on the elevated shelf. The Carbon's to the left of that. And then the Legion is in front of the Carbon. I kind of feel like a nerd, just saying. I might be. But yeah. I want, so right now I'm using the Legion for ATI stuff, so I can just log in, do my work, and I had the Vocaster hooked up, was using the aux cable to go from the aux connection on the Vocaster into the headphone jack of the Legion, because that headphone jack worked both ways, so it would send audio into the Vocaster and I would hear that and I could manipulate that, and then I would be able to send audio from the Vocaster through the aux cable into the Legion. The problem is I was sending all of my audio from the Vocaster through that cable. So if I forgot to close email and I got an email notification, guess what? The person I was on the phone call heard email wasn't even complete. Typically it doesn't read my email because I disabled the notification, but it still plays the sound for some reason. So they would hear that noise. Or if someone would send me a message, they would hear a ding and then VoiceOver start to read the message and I pop the control button real fast. So it wasn't the most ideal setup, and I'm hoping that maybe the Evo will give me that flexibility to be able to have all 3 computers hooked up, possibly even, and send on and slash receive audio where I need to. I don't know if ultimately that is going to be the end solution. And that's one of the reasons why I may not keep this as well.
Makes sense. I still kind of feel like if you're going to keep a Evo, or if an Evo is going to be your solution, I still think the 16 is probably better, because it's going to give you, there's more functionality there for the types of things that you're trying to do with it.
But it's big. I like this, this 8. Like the 8 is like, it's less than the width of an iPhone 14 Pro Max. And it's less, I mean, it's slightly taller. So if I hold my iPhone 14 Pro Max in landscape mode against the Evo, my iPhone 14 Pro Max is slightly wider than the Evo is deep, if that makes sense. And the Evo is slightly wider going left to right as my phone would be, tall. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like a rectangle. And I like the form factor. I don't like the build quality. And you're right. There's more flexibility when it comes to the 16. And that reminded me of an old VCR. I think that was my first impressions of it. And I told you that. I'm like, this looks like a VCR.
Now, another option could be exploring going to a smaller audio interface and getting a somewhat compact mixer.
Yes, I've considered that too. I considered the 2i2. Or the 4i4, because both of those are Gen 4. Those are Focusrite devices, by the way, for listeners who may not know. And just running into that to process audio and send it different places. The last thing that I considered is AT Guy sells this $12 sound card that has a small USB cable that you can plug in, and then you can run line in into that. And in my current setup, I'm thinking, well, I can route the audio into my headphones. I can pick which audio I want to go out of channels 3, 4, and then run that into the sound card. I think there's going to be some noise that'll be introduced in that potentially. And so there is that aspect of it, but you know, I might end up with a couple of different audio interfaces on my desk. We'll see. So, that's my audio adventure. That's what I got for now.
I wonder if anybody's gotten the Zoom. What was Jonathan having an issue with the H6, I think it was, the ACO driver in Windows?
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Okay.
Yeah. He said he wasn't going to say like it wasn't working, just he wasn't able to get it working, but apparently, and I really know nothing about it, like literally, because the last time I was on Windows, I didn't even know Reaper was a thing that existed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know anything about the ACO driver, but I think what you're supposed to be able to do is kind of have the flexibility to pull audio, like have all the channels and stuff exposed to you in Windows if you're using the ACO driver. And he said he could see everything in Reaper, but he couldn't get audio to go where it's supposed to go. But also, I've had random issues with plugging it into the Mac and not getting audio to come out the way it's supposed to. So who knows?
Yeah, but that would be an interesting solution too, because the 6 would give me a lot of input flexibility. I don't think there's much output though with the 6, is there?
So you got USB, you do have a line out.
Yeah.
You also got your headphones if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, technically
you could. Bring some up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do have combo jacks. So you have XLR, which you all, there's also a,
quarter inch,
in the middle of each one of these 4 XLR ports. And at some point, I'm guessing they'll, you know, release these accessories, so you could go up to 6 XLR ports potentially. Yeah.
The device that I have right now, Evo 8, I almost called it a Focusrite 8, and I'm like, that's not right. The Evo 8 has combo jacks too, and those combo jacks are nice. I know they've been around forever, but they are kind of nice to just have. The outputs, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, are only quarter inch or 6.5 millimeters outputs. They are not XLR outputs.
Yeah, I guess that depends on what you have to plug into it.
Yeah. But I will say, taking your own audio equipment, someone, I think it was JJ, said, just bring your own equipment.
Yeah,
it was JJ. Was the smartest decision, because I had IT come, and he's like, oh, you have everything. I'm like, yeah, I got everything here. He's like, do you need any help? I'm like, I don't think so, but thanks, man. Appreciate it. Nice seeing you, Connor. So, yeah, take your own equipment, because then you know what you're doing with it.
Yeah. Nope. It was JJ that said that. We were having a conversation about it leading up to the Michigan convention, NFB state convention last year. You asked him, you know, how did he you know, what did they do about like connecting into the house system? It was like, oh, we just bring our own stuff. We got to worry about it. Which is, you know, again, it may, because you know your equipment and you know what it's capable of doing. You don't get there and someone told you that there, yeah, we have these connections, and you get there and find out, no, you don't actually have that connection. So now my whole thing is ruined and I don't really know how I'm going to make this work anymore because you don't have the connector I thought you had.
Been there, done that, don't want to do it again.
Yeah, that's why I said it, because you literally just did it.
22. Yep, that was... Anyways.
No, man, I think that was 23.
No, 23 was at the hotel that we were at this year, too. So.
Well, you still had a similar issue there.
Yeah, I did.
Like, oh, we don't have this kind of connector. So you went and bought a whole bunch of extra stuff and got there like, oh, well, I could have just have done this. But people don't know their equipment. They just, you know how to. We plug in this HDMI cable to a computer and then everything's
That's
straight.
That's literally what they did. They had a laptop set up on the table with an HDMI cable plugged in. I'm like, let's not even touch that.
It's not going to quite work to do what I need to do here. But anyway,
would not work because Zoom wouldn't hear anything.
No.
I have a solution. It's a very controversial solution, but let's not do these hybrid conventions anymore. That would fix my audio solutions.
It would. But then you would feel salty the next time there was something that you wanted to pretend that you couldn't get to, and then they were like, "Oh, well, we're not doing hybrid. If you can't show up in person, then you just don't bother." Jeez, man, you could
have
did.
Well, Zoom. Michael said on Technically Working that we shouldn't have Zoom, so we decided not to have Zoom. Damn it!
Another piece of advice. Well, I'll say piece of advice. That sounds very pretentious. Another thing I would suggest doing is, and I'm not sure if you're still occasionally or at any time hanging out in office hours in the morning, but popping in there and dropping a question or getting on their Discord, even because you spend way more time in Discord than I do. And like outlining kind of the basics, because I feel like at least for the short term, we'll say the short term, I'll say the foreseeable future. For the short term, you're going to be doing stuff just like what you just did.
Yes.
So outlining that situation for somebody or for the group there, because there's a lot of people in there with a lot more knowledge than the two of us have combined, and getting recommendations, including the fact that, you know, maybe we got to talk around some of this a little bit more because that solution won't work for me because it requires, you know, a interface that while it does, it has a touchscreen, right? Because I mean, one solution I know that absolutely would work if it was accessible would be something like the Sound Devices Mix 3 or Mix 6. There's other interfaces in that same vein that are probably cheaper that would also work. But again, there's touchscreens and they're not accessible. Hopefully what Zoom has done will start to move something. And I'm vaguely hopeful that we're going to see sooner than it took to get the Essentials lineup update to the Zoom H series. Some more like the P1. No, what is it? The P4?
P4.
Yeah. Like if they would update, like I know they got to update the hardware, but given some of the feedback I've heard about it from people that have used it, both blind and sighted, it does seem to over time kind of introduce noise into itself. And I think you actually, I think you experienced that too. I think you kind of experienced that too. And also the device does feel a little, you know, kind of cheaply made. So maybe improve the build quality a little bit and improve the internal components just a bit. And put this speech in it, man. And like, listen, I would buy one instantly because you know what I don't have on this H6, which would be amazing, is one, I don't have more than one headphone jack output. I think the P4 has four.
Yep.
I don't have the ability to, you know, set up a mix minus. You know, there's a lot
P4 does that with the hit of a switch.
There's a lot of stuff that the P4 does that made it interesting to me at the time when it came out and everybody was trying it out in the blind community and creating, you know, walkthrough guides on how to configure it and all of that. And if you would have kept yours, I might have ended up buying one. Then I would be frustrated at times because I was like, man, I got to go listen to this audio again to figure out how to set this thing up again because I don't remember.
Yeah. Or I had to change my batteries and it's been too long since I used it. Gotta go figure out why it's not coming on. Oh, set the date and time. That damn date.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful that we'll see that. That's not going to necessarily solve your problem in the short term, because I think their focus right now is on the essentials lineup, and you know, who knows what else they're
now
working on that's in development.
Zoom Essentials Pro comes out, and the people have been rumoring and talking about, I hope that will give me some of the features that we want in the P4, and that be a replacement to the P4 ultimately.
Yeah. I've heard about this from you. I haven't heard it anywhere else. Granted, I ain't been listening to a whole bunch of stuff. I actually just caught up. Well, I'm going to say caught up. Just listened to a few episodes of Double Tap. I listened to Double Tap in forever. Which reminds me of so funny thing is, I listened to an episode of Double Tap. It was the one where Steven, I think it was something, and Double Tap is down. At first, I thought the title was referring to the website. Like, what happened? But they were both sick.
Yeah.
Steven was like, oh, we're going to take tomorrow off, so we're going to give you the best of YouTube tomorrow. And so I listened to the follow-up episode, and guess who's on that episode? Well, who was a part of that clip episode? Talking about the DOJ lawsuit against Apple.
Yes, I remember that. That was a long time ago. Well, it was like 2 weeks ago. Seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, so I was catching up on that, or listening to that, because I had, needed something to listen to when I was doing laundry and other stuff, and also switched over to Pocket Cast.
Interesting. Let's flush that out a little bit, because I switched back to Castro. And for me, my audio that I listen to in the background is an audio that you have tried to get me to listen to for nigh 7 years, probably. Maybe not that long, but it is Security Now. So really into that show now.
Yeah, man. So I'm wondering if you're, one, if you're current on, I'll tell you about Pocket Cast in a sec, but I'm wondering if you're current on Double Tap, because I don't want to send feedback that somebody's already sent.
I am current on Double Tap for the most part.
All right. So has anybody said anything about the RCS conversation you guys were having? Because there's a few minor but very important details that you guys got mixed up there.
Potentially, it would be worth sending an email, though.
Yeah, send the audio coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, send the audio recording. I ain't typing no emails. Man.
Yeah. Send an audio or Mac Whisper it. No, send an audio. Then Miss K doesn't have to read your email.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. And then you kill some time for one of their shows this coming week.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pocket Cast.
Pocket Cast, man. So, and actually, I just switched to Pocket Cast today, like literally today.
Oh, okay.
Well, basically, all I did was download Pocket Cast, sign in, and boom, there was all the podcasts that I'm basically subscribed to in Overcast, with the exception of a few that I've deleted out of Overcast that are still in Pocket Cast. So, didn't really do much. I did go for the subscription because it was 50% off for the first year for their Plus subscription. I did not go to the Patreon subscription, which is $100. Yeah. Well, you really want to support them, man. Really want to get you early access to features and a badge and some other stuff I don't care about. Yeah. Plus, it gives me the Watch app and a few other things. I think it gives me like some cloud storage to store files, which means going across devices. Like if I add something to it locally from files on the iPhone or something, or from the computer, using that 20 gigabytes of cloud storage, that could actually sync those files across, so they're also available on, the Pixel, for example, or the iPad. Mm. But a few features that I wanted to have access to, at least. And that $20 is, more like what Castro costs it versus, $40, which is what the regular price is. I'm not sure I'm in for it next year.
Castro's I'm in for it this year. Now. Yeah, I have not. I paid for a month of it, then I canceled my subscription because a month was like $4.99, because I wanted to see if an issue I was having was related to me not being on the free account. But yeah, it's a bit steep.
Yeah, it is a bit steep. I'm wondering if Overcast is going to go up this year. At one point, and I can't remember, I may be misremembering this, because I paid for Castro 1 year. I didn't use it the entire year, but I paid for Castro for 1 year. And at some point, I want to say it was Castro still had a legacy plan if you had been previously subscribed. Mm. Now, they may be gone since they went out of business and then came back.
Yeah. They've been sold like 5 different times, it seems like. And yeah. Makes me a little bit nervous. Pocket Cast is now owned by Automatic, aren't they?
Automatic. Yep. Yeah. That's one of the only reasons I went to it before trying Castro initially, like even before today when I tried it a few months ago and didn't pay for it, is because it was owned by Automatic. And I figure, like, one, they seem to have been good just, you know, anecdotally, because I don't use any of this stuff, but, you know, I don't hear people open arms about Tumblr and they own that. Not the Tumblr.
They own Beeper, don't they?
They did just buy Beeper. And they also own Day One.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. And they haven't broke accessibility of Day One yet.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, that's really the one that's kind of been the measuring point for me. Is like, I've not heard the community get up in arms about Day One once Automatic took it over. And they've owned it for at least a year now, if not longer than that. So
guess who isn't journaling?
Me. me. I should take a look at Day One, but I don't think I'm going to use it, so I don't install it, because the times I have installed it, like, I will admit that Day One has some very nice features. I know you've used it way more than I have. Does have very nice features. I just know myself, I'm not going to use it. So why put it on my phone and get in the way and possibly have to pay for it, because I don't know if I'm still grandfathered into whatever. Mm. There's got to be a better term for that, too. Grandmothered? That sounds... sounds mean. whatever plan I've been retroactively attached to, because I did pay for Day One years ago, and Tia used it. And when they went to a subscription, for some reason, I didn't actually get prompted to pay for a subscription. Well, she didn't, because she downloaded it on her account, and apparently family sharing and all of that worked. I don't know how it works. I don't know if it still works. I probably shouldn't talk about it just in case somebody forgot. Like, oh yeah, those people.
Better go make them pay for it.
Yeah, we need to turn that off. Man. What are they doing? But it does have a lot of nice features. And I do at least like the fact that with Apple's journaling app and their features with that about what you've done, I forget exactly how they call them or how they're named. Mm-hmm. But those are also available to apps such as Day One. I'm pretty sure there are journaling apps out there. But guess what? Nobody's ever heard of them.
No one's using them. Well, no, people are probably using them. No one's heard of them, though, because people aren't talking about them.
Day One is the only one that I know about. Like, that is literally...
There's some other hack-together ways, but...
I was going to say, I've heard of people building their own kind of hack-together thing in drafts. I've heard of people doing it in DevonThink, Keep... nope, not keep it. Mm-hmm. Yep, Ulysses. Like, I've heard of people making their own situation, but app wise, it's just like an app. Like, yeah, Day One is the only one I've known about.
So, what do you use an IFTTT for right now?
Whatever it was doing before I started paying for it.
Okay.
Is my honest to God answer to you. Like, there are things that I should be doing with it that I haven't gotten to. I haven't gone back to the AI features. Like, I started building a thing there with that and just hadn't gone back to it. And it's kind of one of those situations where I'm not held hostage, but I'm holding myself hostage, because, like, I got a really good price, so I'm not going to cancel it, because when I come to renew, eventually I'm going to use it for something.
Right.
And I also feel like the price that I paid this year, and then I will pay next year, because I'm assuming I'll get the same price I got this year.
I hope so.
Increase. I hope so. Now, if I don't, then I'm probably going to cancel it.
Right. Right.
And I think I actually put it on a Mercury debit card. I didn't do that. That I need to go do, because I have noticed this year, thanks to the Mercury turnover, again, very helpful. It was a pain in the neck to deal with it, but it was very helpful, because a lot of people do not send out reminder emails that your subscription is about to renew.
They sure remind you when they don't get their money, though.
Uh-huh. Yep. And it's like, so one, if I was going to renew this, it would have been nice if you'd have sent me a renewal email so I could have actually went and updated my payment method, because I knew the card you had wasn't going to work if I'd have been thinking about you.
Two, I haven't been thinking about you, so I'm not going to use you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, yeah, same with me with IFTTT. It's really just what are they called? Applets, I think is what they call them, that I've already set up, and they just keep running. I haven't went in there to set more stuff up yet.
Now, another reason, because, you know, somebody's yelling, well, if it was working before you started paying for it, why'd you start paying for it? Because they were bringing more features and more capabilities. And some of it was things that I did actually want that kept pushing me towards services that were less accessible, like Zapier. It had me looking at things like, what is that other one a lot of people have started using? They used to have a different name. Yeah, yeah. Is that the one that changed your name?
I think so.
But none of those services are really accessible when I looked at them. And IFTTT, it has had its issues, and it does still have some issues. I'm not sure, but it has been consistently something that I was able to set up. Well before the Stripe, I did have since turned this applet off because it's redundant now, but well before Stripe, mobile app had push notifications to tell me about things like, you know, chargebacks, which I have fortunately still haven't gotten any. Should I knock on this? I think it might be wood. hold on. I know where actual real piece of wood is.
Gotta knock on that wood.
There we go.
Know, you never know.
Or, you know, that a transaction had come through or whatever. I was using IFTTT connected to Stripe to send me push notifications when a payment came through. And when bank transfers happen, because that's the only thing that ever actually happens in my Stripe account, which I feel very fortunate for.
Right.
The only time I've had to issue refunds is because I have chosen to, well, either I've chosen to refund somebody because they canceled something at a point and I look back and I was like, you know, you ain't used this in 2 months. So here's your last 2 months of money back. Like, I can't go back 6 months for you, but I can go back two. So here's that money back. Or, you know, somebody accidentally renewed something that they didn't realize they were going to renew because they weren't handling the emails or whatever. And it's like, oh, I didn't really mean to use this. And it's like, all right, I'll refund your money. No big deal.
Right.
But yeah, IFTTT, I think, is going to continue to grow. And with AI, see how they did it to me? I used to fight back against that. With machine learning tools.
AI is just so much faster to say.
It is so much faster to say. Look, if I keep saying machine learning tools, somebody's going to know what the hell I'm talking about. But I think they are going to continue, and they are actually building in a lot of new features. Their prices, even at the regular price, I think is better than what Zapier costs, because Zapier now for their cheapest plan, I think, is $30, and there's still stuff I can't do in there. Granted, I ain't tried it in Windows, but I ain't tried Zapier in a while either, because I don't want to pay $30 a month for what I need for them to do. Basically, like, I would honestly stand up a WordPress site and pay for one of the plugins that does similar things and try to build something on top of that before I fork over probably $350 a year to Zapier and deal with the accessibility issues, because it is tedious trying to build something there. Yeah, IFTTT, it's kind of an investment. Like, it's a future investment. Here's some money. I'm giving you guys some money. I'm not really using all of the stuff that I'm paying for, but I'll be back. Like, just give me a sec. Let me figure out what I need to do.
Well, we have been about an hour-ish. Do you have anything else you want to chat about? It's been mostly audio stuff today, but if not, then we can wrap it up.
Man, that's what's going on, though, is audio stuff. Got to find solutions for the audio. Couple of things. I want to ask you a question. Because I had a very misfortunate breakfast Wednesday morning when we went to Montgomery. So stop at this. I'm going to call it I shouldn't call it that. A very pretentious coffee spot. Let me call it that. And ordered a smoothie because I'd already had a cup of coffee that morning. And a chicken biscuit. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but if I go in any restaurant, whether it's a, you know, I don't know, Chick-fil-A or anywhere, and I order like a sandwich for breakfast, like any sort of biscuit or whatever type of sandwich they make for breakfast. My expectation is said sandwich is going to come with just what is on the sandwich, like the meat that is on the sandwich. You know, if cheese is included. Yeah, cheese is there. You know, it's a chicken biscuit. I don't expect you to put cheese on that. That's disgusting. Mm. So order the biscuit. Don't ask any questions about the biscuit, because why would I? Get the biscuit, and somebody asked, one of the, like, basically we all three ordered the same, all three BEP students ordered the same thing, virtually the same thing. I think somebody might have had a slightly different smoothie. But virtually the same thing. And one of them, I don't remember which one it was, asked about, you know, jelly or something to put on their biscuit. And the lady goes, oh, well, it comes with bacon jam on it. I was like, what the hell is bacon jam? Never right? heard of this. What is this?
Yeah, so, I have never heard of bacon jam either. That is.
Oh, okay. So I don't feel weird, because they all kind of seem to know what it was. And I was like, I have no idea what the hell that is. Like, what is bacon jam?
Jam flavored like bacon or?
No. So one, I'm going to send you a YouTube video when I find it. Because they were watching one that, and I understand now really why I was sick. Because it did make me sick. Like, I didn't puke or anything, but I wish I could have, to be honest. But it didn't sit well at all. So initially my thought was bacon jam. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, probably kind of like mayonnaise on a burger when you tell them you don't want mayonnaise and they put it on there anyway. Like, you can kind of take a napkin and like kind of wipe it off and it'll be right. Okay for the most part. So I assumed I'd be able to do this. I was like, nah, I'll just take it. Right. I should have done what my first instinct. It is one of those situations where you should really follow what your instincts tell you to do. It was my first instinct when this lady said bacon jam. I was like, oh, you got to remake my biscuit without that. But I was like, nah, we ain't got time for all that. And I can wipe it off. Like, it ain't going to be that big of a deal. Like, the bacon ain't going to kill me. Like, no. So get out to the van. We're on the way. I open up the biscuit and, you know, teacher turns around, looks at him. You want me to scrape the jam off first? And I got it. I'm good. Take the top off the biscuit. Oh, no, there's nothing on this side of the chicken. Okay. Well, lift up the piece of chicken. Oh, man, you didn't spread it on the chicken. You spreaded it on the biscuit.
That just ruins the whole biscuit for you then.
So
you should have just ate the chicken at that point.
That is what I should have done, or at least ate the chicken with the top piece of bread that didn't have anything on. That is actually what I should have done in that situation. I wish right. I were that smart to have thought of doing that in that situation. But I said, you know what? It'll probably be all right. It's just a few little bacon bits inside some jam or something. Can't be that bad. Oh, my God, no. So bacon jam is made with the grease of the bacon. So you fry some bacon up in a skillet, and then you drain off some of the grease, but not all the grease, because you're going to use some of that to make this jam. However else they make it, I don't know. I stopped listening once I heard that in the video. I was like, oh, my God, I shouldn't eat that. Oh, man, it's awful. Terrible. This all came back to me because you mentioned your beef jerky thing.
Yeah.
Before we started recording, I was like, man, this is like, also for three of us to eat. And like, again, remind you, we basically all had the same thing, a smoothie and a chicken biscuit. It was $46.
Yeah. Food is stupid expensive right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But see, here's the alternative. For lunch, we went to a Mexican restaurant, El Rancho. Okay. Again, we all virtually had almost the same thing. I had the steak fajita quesadilla.
Yeah.
The other two had the chicken fajita quesadilla.
Okay.
All right. Along with a drink, $32.
That's pretty damn good, actually.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Okay. I won't tell you what I spent over the weekend on food, because we were at the casino, and I think enough said there.
Yep, there it is.
Yep, I almost needed to go gamble to pay
out. Recoup that. Like, man, let me go jump in this crap game real quick or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, blackjack. Oh, look, I got 18. I think I'm a hole.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, don't get 19. Don't get 19.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think that is it for us this week. Well, thank you folks for listening in. For those listening, especially our financial supporters that are used to getting their show on Sunday. So we're actually recording this on Sunday night. Hence the reason you're getting a little bit late. That is the reason. And that is entirely upon me because, well, I think I gave myself a slight concussion Friday and I wasn't quite back together yesterday, to be honest. And I was like, I could do a show, but I don't think it'll be a good show if I do it.
You doing better today?
Yeah. Yeah. Still a little swollen around that area, but I'm all right. I haven't had a headache. Yesterday, I had a headache kind of coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's that. At any rate, we want to thank everybody who listens. As Mike opened up the episode with, we want to thank all of you who support us, whether you just listen, you listen and tell other people about the show and try to get them to listen, especially if you're a bully about it and you just take their phone and subscribe them to the show in the app. Like
in your favorite podcast app. Oh, they don't have Pocket Cast? Well, that's my favorite, so I'm going to download it. And now you have to listen to the show.
No, you don't have to go that far. Just you. Well, I mean, if they're on Android, you might need to do that. But if they're on Apple, just subscribe them in the Apple Pod. Listen, Teal listens to the show in the Apple Podcast app, which is super weird to me.
Does she read the show in the Apple Podcast app too? Do you know? What has she thought about the trans? Because there's transcripts in the Apple Podcast app now.
So she won't get those, though, I don't think.
Oh.
I don't know if she gets those because she has the private feed because she actually subscribed to the show.
I think she should get them because
I'll have to look and see.
Yeah. Yeah. Find out and let us know. Cause yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to look and see. Well, yeah, she listens in, but I mean, if I can figure out how to get to them, cause I really don't understand that app. Like I'm it lost.
Is clunky.
I need somebody to help me. It's like, man, you're supposed to be the tech guy. What are you? I don't understand how to use this app. Like I'm so confused. But no, you don't have to download an app for me. Unless they're on Android because, you know, Google just can't.
Well, YouTube. Podcast Android has YouTube and we're on YouTube.
So. Oh, yep. YouTube is already on the phone. YouTube. So just go subscribe on YouTube. Yep.
Yep.
We appreciate those of you who are, you know, bullish enough to do that. Although it's not necessary. Just tell them about the show. Like, you know, unless you make a TikTok of you, you know, muscling somebody's phone away to subscribe them to the show. That would be interesting to see. I would actually go on TikTok to see that. I would go to TikTok to see that. I would go to TikTok just to give you a like for that. Like I would create a whole TikTok account just to give you a like for that if you did that. At any rate, thank you for listening. And if you support us financially, again, we appreciate it because you could spend your money anywhere. And with inflation and the cost of food, et cetera, the fact that you choose to give us a few dollars a month does mean something. But we appreciate you. This mic picks up way better. I don't know what it is.
It's also more expensive than your other mic, too.
I mean, not terribly. So, Beta ASF, that was $250. This one was like $4. So, it's not ridiculous. Yeah, no, it's not a $1,000 mic. I ain't go that crazy. My credit ain't that good.
But if the 400 picked up that much, what would a $1,000 mic sound like? Weren't you interested a little, Duasi? The problem is the microphone that I picked up for $349 didn't sound as good as the microphone I got for $250. So
that's the problem.
More expensive is not always better.
Exactly. That's why I wasn't interested in going up because. So I'll tell you. You know what? I think we had this conversation before. We was wrapping up the show. Well, I'm gonna tell you anyway. So one reason I picked up this mic and it was on sale actually when I bought it too. So that was another thing. But I think regular price it might be. 4-ish, maybe 5-ish. I don't remember. I should go look it up right now. It's not like I don't have a browser in front of me to look. But one reason I was interested in this mic and it was on sale is because somebody who really cares a great deal about audio, Marco Arment, who makes the Overcast app, actually switched to this microphone from the, to me, ridiculously priced, what was it? It was a Neumann, the Neumann KMS 105, which is about a $700 mic.
Yep. Yep.
He liked his mic better than that mic. Now, for me, listening to audio samples of different people using that mic, it sounded very close to the Beta. And he even said this himself. He was like, for most people, just get the Beta 87. They like, it's not worth spending $700. I spent $700, but I had $700.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that much better than the Beta 87A. This Earthworks was partially because it was on sale and it came in a special black edition. I'm a sucker for that. Like I'm going to end up getting a MacBook Pro space black just because it's black. But it does sound better because I was prepared to send it back. Like I didn't sound that much better. I do think I actually sound better on this microphone. But also, it lets me carry my Beta 87A with me, even though I still, most of the time at Gentry, end up plugging in the USB mic because it's just quicker.
Yep.
Zoom, I need you guys to get that together. At any rate, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. You can get in touch with us, just like Scout did. Scout, reach out, let us know about Proton Mail. You know,
yeah,
send us an email or an audio recording if you choose to do so. We can play that in too.
We can, with your permission. So if you want to send in an
with audio your permission, recording, yeah, if you want to send an audio recording at all, you know,
give us permission to play it, and we'll play it in, and that'll kill a couple of minutes of the show. Oh.
Yeah, we'll do that. But you can send an email to us, feedback@technicallyworking.show. And we're both on Mastodon. He's Payon, Payown, at unmute.community. And I'm Damashe, Damashe, at unmute.community. And I was going to tell you folks how much this microphone costed, but apparently mouse hover or something is on because I have no idea what's going on. And I can't navigate this page.
You're just trying to use the web on the Mac. That's your problem?
I'm trying to use it in Brave is really the problem.
Yeah.
Have you seen this Arc browser? You know anybody has tried this?
I have seen it. I downloaded it. I deleted it and haven't played with it since then.
Oh, okay. So I'm not going to.
I may not have given it enough time either. But
there's a deal on Isotope. AI. What version of Isotope are we using? Do you know? Oh. Wait, we're on 10?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, why the hell are they trying to get me to upgrade to 10 like I don't have it?